Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
We're returning now to the issue of the Taoiseach's visit to the White House and the imminent traditional shamrock gifting ceremony. Joining us on the line is Washington correspondent with the Financial Times, Miles McCormack. Also Dr. Graeme Finlay from the School of Politics and International Relations in UCD. And still with us here in studio is former RTE Washington correspondent and now work and technology correspondent, Brian O'Donovan. And you're all very welcome. Miles, I might come to yourself first. A lot of talk about trade and Ireland's relationship with the US when it comes to trade. How would you describe that press conference between the Taoiseach and President Trump?
So I think the Taoiseach came out of it reasonably well. I mean, there was big fears that he could be pinned down on awkward issues on Gaza, on Ukraine, on the trade deficit that that the President has accused Ireland of having with the US. There wasn't any kind of awkward blow up to the extent that there was with Volodymyr Zelensky a couple of weeks ago. That said, as you say, trade was front and center. The president repeatedly accused Ireland of stealing US pharmaceutical companies, luring them away from the US with low taxes. But the Taoiseach repeatedly made the point that, I mean, Ireland buys plenty from the US. You referred to Ryanair a lot, buying Boeings from the US.
Mm. Did you think that landed when Micheál Martin tried to make that point?
The president kind of shrugged it off a little bit. He kind of chuckled a little bit about it. But he seemed more willing to kind of castigate the EU than Ireland, which I suppose worked quite well for Micheál Martin.
They talked a lot about the economic deficit, Miles, they didn't talk a lot about it, but they talked a bit about it. And when it came up, Donald Trump talked about how there was a big economic deficit with Ireland and others. And he said, we want to work this out as nicely as we can. But I mean, the reality is Ireland can't have a side deal with the US to work this out as nicely as we can. It gets worked out with the EU, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this visit's coming on the same day that the EU's announcing retaliatory tariffs for the US's steel and aluminium tariffs. So, I mean, I don't know, regardless of the rapport that the Taoiseach might have built with the president, yeah, a lot will ultimately depend on relations between Washington and Brussels.
Can I bring in Graeme Finlay here? Graeme, what did you make of all of this, that meeting?
I think it went about as well as could be expected. And also it taught us a lot more about just Donald Trump in general. Looking at his demeanor, the way he approached that conversation with Micheál Martin, there wasn't going to be an ambush like Volodymyr Zelensky saw, which makes what happened to Zelensky look a lot more deliberate than we might have thought at the time. But President Trump clearly sees himself as a friend to Ireland. He thinks it helps him with Irish American voters. All of those narratives, bode very well for Ireland. And I thought it was striking that Micheál Martin was able to get in as many points as he could, and keep the president from feeling some kind of clash over issues like Gaza. Now, another interesting thing was the way that denied his extreme plans for Gaza, which would be, it was an important development, I think, for viewers around the world.
Okay, so on the Gaza issue, Micheál Martin praised the peace efforts. He mentioned that people were dying on both sides and that it should have stopped, and commended Donald Trump for his efforts to bring peace. He criticized October 7th. He referenced his visit to Israel. But perhaps some people might say he didn't mention the massive death toll in Gaza, or certainly didn't underline it. He didn't mention that Israel was stopping humanitarian aid into Gaza right now. I mean, would you have expected him to make those points, or was he right to lean a little bit more into the Israel side of stuff?
I wasn't surprised that he didn't make those points. I think you're not going to change Donald Trump's mind. You're probably not going to make any headway with the American people. I think there's a lot of room for behind the scenes when you're talking to officials who are more engaged with these issues to try and explain Ireland's position and try and see what's possible from the U.S. side. He did mention humanitarian aid to Gaza, but you're right. He did not present it in a way which was critical of Israel. Again, we can understand why he did it. You know, we can debate whether he would have achieved much by mm-hmm. being, mm-hmm. you know, giving the more strident official line of Ireland.
That's
when
the
he's
balance,
not in the White
isn't
House.
It? That is the balance.
Yeah. And there's different audiences, of course, that he's speaking to, and he had a particular audience that he's speaking to today, but the other audience was watching, and we'll be speaking to some opposition members in the Irish government a little bit later in the programme. But Brian, I want to bring you back in here on the trade aspect and taxation, actually, because that's another issue that came up, and Donald Trump talking about how he is trying to cut corporation tax in the US at the moment, which is not something we'd like to see here.
No, absolutely not. And if there was a significant cut, it would, of course, have implications here. But he also, in that conversation, said we're having trouble getting it through Congress now with the Democrats. And, of course, Donald Trump, in his last term, tried to lower corporate tax. He did. He wanted to go further. He couldn't. And it's a difficult one to sell, I guess, in a very, very divided Congress. But, yeah, it was the theme of the day, was it not? It focused on trade. It focused a lot on issues that are angering him. You know, potentially he could have expressed anger towards Ireland. I don't think he did. He spoke about situations existing right now in the world that he's not particularly happy with. But Ireland are smart people. I'd have done the same. I don't want to hurt you guys. I love Ireland. You have this repeated praise and this repeated support for Ireland, but then also tempered with, I'm not happy with the EU. I'm not happy with my predecessors for allowing these things to happen. So as I said earlier, if we had said in advance of this meeting that the headlines were going to be, I'm taking back your companies, I'm working on this deficit, we'd have thought it was a disaster for Ireland. It wasn't. I thought Micheál Martin did quite well. He did try to come in a lot more. He couldn't. It was very difficult to get some of his points across. There was plenty of flattery there. He spoke about how Doonbeg was a lovely place and spoke about the warmth he had for it. And then was very praising of Donald Trump in terms of peace and some of the things that he was trying to achieve in that regard in international relations. I mean, could he have picked him up on some of that EU criticism and said something like, ah, we're part of the EU and I support this? Of course, but that could have led to a row. And did he want that? No.
Yeah, and Miles, that was obviously a calculation that Micheál Martin made either in advance or at the time, we don't know, but he didn't take the bait on the EU, didn't see himself, I think, in the room at the time as a representative of the EU, rather a representative of Ireland. But for the rest of the EU leaders sitting watching that, what do you think they will have thought about what Donald Trump had to say?
Yeah, I mean, like, that, as you say, I mean, Micheál Martin kind of waved the green flag as opposed to the European blue. And that would have been a calculated move. He would have discussed it with Ireland's ambassador, Geraldine Bernanke, going into it. And there would have been kind of a concerted effort to make sure that there wasn't a clash, as we say, like we saw with Volodymyr Zelensky. Would other European leaders have liked to see the Taoiseach stand up a little bit more for the EU's interests? Maybe, but they all know what Donald Trump's like. They all know that there's kind of a political calculation to be made by any leader going in to talk with him. So I don't think anyone's going to be disappointed, as it were, that that Martin wasn't more pro-EU in the meeting.
When you stand back from it, Miles, and you think back to the Zelensky meeting in the Oval Office, the gnarled comments, you're gambling with World War III, how passionate they were in terms of pushing back against him and attacking him maybe. On the morning that this meeting is happening, the EU imposes 26 billion of retaliatory tariffs on US goods. And yet the US president is mellow. I mean, doesn't it show how powerful a lobby the Irish-American lobby is and how skillful our diplomats are maybe?
100%. I mean, on one side, I mean, as you said earlier, the president's talking to a particular audience. And with the Zelensky meeting, he was playing to an audience in middle America that kind of wanted to see him kind of hit out a little bit, complain about the quote unquote wasting of American taxpayer funds. But today, to some extent, he was playing to the galleys in Irish America, that, as I kind of said in the meeting, many of whom came out to vote for him. And it plays well politically in the US for him to be kind of seen to be on good terms with Ireland. So, yeah, I mean, from the US point of view, from the president's point of view, it's kind of an audience well beyond the Oval Office, well beyond the White House, and well beyond DC that he's speaking to.
Yeah, I wonder, did he take his cue from the vice president breakfast with J.D. Vance? That was such a convivial atmosphere, wasn't it, Graham? Or is this type of work, this groundwork done in the weeks and months before this meeting?
I mean, the groundwork is done, and we do have to praise our diplomats who do a terrific job. Again, I think everything went well because J.D. Vance and Donald Trump decided it was going to go well. I think the point about one reason they wanted it to go well is this point about Irish-American voters. It's really important to know that Donald Trump thinks in stereotypes and he thinks in terms of ethnic identification. And a lot of his regrettable comments over the years have turned on those kinds of things. So I think he would think that Irish-Americans are going to identify with Ireland possibly more than they actually do and might, you know, vote for him on the basis of how well he treats Ireland. Mm. So again, we see a very deliberate performance by the president and vice president. And when they were determined for it to go well, everything sort of fell into place.
Indeed, he even made a sort of a thinking out loud comment. I think we get a lot of that, Brian, with Donald Trump, don't we? Thinking out loud about how Irish Americans would not be very happy if he stole all the companies back from Ireland. And it was a big theme. In relation to the Sox played a big part. And President Trump did take a moment to make light of J.D. Vance's clothing when he talked about the Shamrock Sox that his vice president is wearing today. Let's have a listen.
Go ahead. And by the way, I have to speak of inflation. I love these socks. What's with these socks?
President Trump.
I'm trying to stay focused, but I'm very impressed with the VP's socks.
A big jovial moment there in the US.
Can I just make a point on the socks? And I think you'll agree, if you were watching it on television, the wide angle camera, that's pretty much all you could see, these glaring white socks with these big green shamrocks coming from the feet of J.D. Vance. And what a contrast with the Zelensky meeting, where J.D. Vance played the role of the attack dog and accusing him of not saying thank you. There he was sitting in all his socked glory, and it just became this much more lighthearted, more convivial atmosphere. As I say, a stark, stark cry from that. And really, I suppose, a reminder of the, as Graham referenced earlier, that this was quite deliberate. This was the attitude that they were going to take, a much, much more lighthearted approach. And even the journalists, if I could just say very briefly, who sort of contributed to that Zelensky attack, if we could talk in that way, were far more kind to Ireland as well, if you will. One of the journalists in particular saying to Micheál Martin at one stage, we have MAGA. If you had MIGA make Ireland great again, what would be your main priority? And without batting an eyelid, Micheál Martin said housing, and to address the housing issue. Yeah. And then he followed up with the Rosie O'Donnell question of, you're a nice people, why are you allowing comedian Rosie O'Donnell?
And that
to move?
The journalist who asked J.D. or who asked Zelensky why he wasn't wearing a suit.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he actually, in fact, and we might try and get a clip of that for a little later in the programme, but he actually complimented Micheál Martin on his suit.
Yes. So what you have now in these Oval Office meetings is, in the past it was just, you know, president and visiting dignitary. They spoke for a few minutes, everybody left, and nobody else really chimed in other than journalists trying to get their questions in, and this was quite short and they left. Now we have others chiming in, like J.D. Vance, and we have journalists asking very sparky questions that can really, really kick it off. So there was potential there, I'm sure, for these journalists to drag up something that Micheál Martin had said about Donald Trump over the years, to drag up more about Apple, to drag up more about tax. We didn't see that happening.
Yeah, but yet the question will be asked, I think, and listeners will ask the question, surely, if he was right to laugh along with all of these things about US corporates and the vilification, which happened again, the vilification of migrants, or as a nation of migrants, if the Taoiseach should have mentioned something, should have said something to stand up for the migrant communities that are under a threat, that are under attack in America. And I don't know if either of you, Miles or Graham or Brian, have a take on that. I mean, should there have been a moral line from the Taoiseach on any one of the vilifications?
I felt quite early on there was a question that I just wanted to reference. We didn't reference earlier. There was a question from one of the Irish journalists about Northern Ireland leaders not coming. Mm. And Donald Trump seemed to say, I don't know anything about that. Micheál Martin jumped in, and I thought it was quite clever what he did. He straight away referenced the Northern Ireland peace process and all the struggles and all the issues that Ireland has overcome, and sort of pivoted into, and here we have this president who's for peace and we support that he's for peace. So there was some clever turnings, I felt, there of issues by Micheál Martin, and we had some other examples of that. Again, that flattery, that praise of Donald Trump when it comes to peace.
Okay, and sorry, I think it was Graham. Did you want to come in there, or was it Miles?
Yes. But
Graham,
I think
on.
Miles might have wanted to come in as well. But I do think, I mean, obviously there was an opportunity to correct some of the seriously problematic things Donald Trump said and is doing in the United States. It probably wouldn't be a good look for a foreign visitor to do so. You're not going to change his mind, and you're not going to endear yourself to the American people. It's been really striking how well this is being covered by the American press. And so, I, if for his own domestic audience here in Ireland, I suspect that we'll let him off the hook for not speaking up on all those issues. So in the end, he probably felt like
What about for the migrants in America who feel very vulnerable now, who might feel that they're being called terrorists or rapists or murderers or prisoners, ex-prisoners? What about those people? Should there have been a line to protect their existence, or is it the Taoiseach's place?
The Irish government's always had to walk a very fine line between being seen to be trying to get a special deal for Irish immigrants to the United States, especially those who are undocumented, right? And not to distinguish them from other migrants and the other irregular migrants in the United States who are suffering terribly from Trump's attacks. So, you know, that might have played into Micheál Martin's silence. But again, in the end, you know, commenting negatively about Donald Trump's domestic policies just isn't going to help the occasion, and ultimately isn't going to make a difference to people's lives in the United States.
And can I ask you finally, Miles, on that, as Graham is saying, this has been covered very well in the US as well. Is that, how do you think this will be received in terms of Ireland's reputation in the US and, you know, what Donald Trump has said about Ireland at that meeting?
I think positively. I mean, Donald Trump made plenty of a very kind of complimentary comments about Ireland. And I mean, to Graham's previous point on the kind of commenting on US domestic policy and on immigration, I mean, I'd agree that there is an argument certainly that that Micheál Martin could have kind of like gone stronger on the immigration question. I mean, listeners might remember a couple of years ago when Enda Kenny was in the Oval Office, he made a kind of very pointed point of emphasizing the fact that St. Patrick himself was an immigrant. But there would have been plenty of discussions with kind of Ireland's top brass diplomatic corps over here, with the ambassador and her staff, okay, as to how to play it. And the decision must have been, don't provoke the man, it'll only backfire.
All right, thank you all very much for joining us. We'll be getting some more reaction a little bit later on. But for the moment, Miles McCormack, Graham Finlay and Brian O'Donovan, thank you.
Now, we'll be joined shortly by Lucinda Creighton, former Fine Gael TD, to give a reaction, now consultant, to give a reaction to what has been happening in Washington, D.C. at the today. And that meeting, if you've just joined us, the meeting in the Oval Office between the Taoiseach and the U.S. President has finished about less than an hour ago. And I was going to say passed off peacefully, but there hasn't been any major flare-up or incident. She is Lucinda Creighton, CEO of Vulcan Consulting and former government minister for European affairs. Lucinda Creighton, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Cormac.
Have you breathed out yet?
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, to be honest, I was at an event yesterday evening with all of the Irish, the huge travelling contingent of Irish at the embassy yesterday evening. And I think everybody was pretty relaxed. I mean, I don't think there was much doubt that Micheál Martin would put his foot in it or sort of enter into any sort of loggerheads with President Trump. Mm-hmm. It passed off very convivially. I mean, of course, President Trump made his points that he wanted to make and needed to make for his domestic audience. But I think Micheál Martin did a superb job, actually.
And I know you're in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Has that been the reaction, that it went quite well?
Absolutely, yeah. I think there was a lot of, in fairness, I think from the administration, there was an expectation that it would go well. Obviously, Donald Trump knows Ireland. He's invested in Ireland. He always speaks positively of Ireland. So I think there was a sense that it would be fairly smooth. I think the conclusion from both the administration side and from the Irish government officials who were there with the Taoiseach, they're very happy that it went well. Obviously, they'll meet again this afternoon in the White House when the shamrock will be handed over. There'll be a big contingent of Irish business, industry, IDA, Enterprise Ireland, IBEC, etc. And many of the big investor companies, Ornua, Kerry, etc. will all be there. Mm. That's another opportunity, I suppose, to sort of to drive home the message, which I think Micheál Martin got across very well, about Irish investment in the US, which is really important.
Lucinda, that it went very well. And a lot of people are saying it went very well and that they're very relieved. But maybe that's because we're coming from the point of having watched the meeting with President Zelensky and how that
Absolutely.
Went. And that's our yardstick. But if that hadn't happened, would we be saying it went very well, I wonder? Because what he actually said when it comes to Ireland and what he plans to do when it comes to Ireland, when it comes to trade, when it comes to the pharma companies, when it comes to taxation, none of that really went very well at all.
I disagree. So obviously, the pharmaceutical industry is very much in President Trump's sights. And I think one positive outcome maybe from today's meeting is that, you know, he's very clear that he will work with Ireland. He will work with the Taoiseach. There'll be a channel of communication. And I think he said he doesn't wish to hurt Ireland, which obviously 25% tariffs on pharmaceuticals would do.
Well, exactly, but there's a lot though. Isn't that the point?
There's a lot of room for manoeuvre here. I mean, I'm kind of, we're all getting a bit bored of hearing how transactional the president is, but it is true. And look, there's a long way to go. These tariffs have been used in a way as tools for negotiation. We've seen that with Canada, Mexico. And I think there's a long way to go. There's a lot that Ireland can offer as well in return.
I mean, that's interesting. What can we offer?
I think, well, specifically on LNG, we have a need. For transitional fuels, cleaner fuels in Ireland. LNG is already being imported in huge quantities since the invasion of Ukraine from the US. There's probably room to do more there. And the other areas in security and defence, the government is very clear that it intends to start to invest very heavily in security and defence, and the biggest providers of intelligence, radar, everything that we need in Ireland around to protect our shoreline, to protect our undersea subsea cables, will effectively have to come from the US. So look, there's plenty of room for manoeuvre, and I think the key thing is that this meeting happened, it was constructive, it was convivial, and there's an opportunity now to build on that and really open the channels for communication between Dublin and Brussels and Washington.
Were you disappointed this morning when you looked at the newspapers and turned on the radio, Lucinda, and you saw that the retaliatory tariffs being announced on the morning that the Taoiseach was to go into that high-level important meeting with the US President?
Frankly, I doubt it was a huge consideration in terms of the publication of the list. It's been in the pipeline. I mean, it's been floated in the media many times in the last few weeks, and everybody knows what's coming. You know, if this sort of potential trade war escalates to that level, the European Union has to be prepared to retaliate. There's no question about that. And I think it's important that it's clear to particularly, I mean, obviously there's a very big focus on US agriculture. It has to be very clear to American farmers, to American trade associations, that this is what will come if there's a blanket approach from Washington targeting the European Union. But as I say, this is a process. There's a lot of negotiation to happen. And we've seen with Canada and Mexico, they've been announced, they've been introduced, they've been withdrawn, they've been announced again. There's a lot of, I suppose, gamesmanship and brinkmanship around these tariffs. It's an unpleasant tool. I don't like it. I don't think anybody wants to see tariffs imposed. And if they are imposed, the European Union will have no alternative but to hit American industry hard. Okay. And that's what will happen. Nobody wants that. And I think, you know, look, the channels are quite positive from Europe. I think Keir Starmer, Emmanuel Macron and Micheál Martin, they're the three European leaders now who have met with Trump in the Oval Office, and I think they've all had a very good experience and a positive one. So it's really for EU heads of state and government and the European Commission now to build on that.
Okay, Lucinda Creighton, CEO with Vulcan Consulting, thank you very much indeed for joining us from Washington DC. We'll have more after the break.